Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Center for the Celebration of Male Ancestry here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, this being the time of year when we celebrate our fathers, we thought it would be a public service to remind people that 95% of all misleading information about cars in this world comes from fathers. The other 5%, of course, comes from us. And for our kids, 100% of the misinformation they get comes from us. Right?
Hey, that's how it is. Hey, they have to live with it.
By the way, did you get Dad a present this year for Father's Day?
Of course I did. What do you think I am?
You did? And yeah. What, pray tell, did you get our dear old Dad?
I got him a pager.
A pager?
A beeper, you know.
The guy's 88 years old. He never leaves the house. What does he need a pager for?
Well, because now when my mother's in the other room and she wants another beer, she can just beep them. I heard she's going to join AAA to get rid of this drinking problem.
I think so. I think she's already a member.
All right. Now, I don't have any mail. I have not a single piece of readable mail. Not legible, but readable. And I must put out an all-points bulletin. I mean, anyone out there who's got something that you've been meaning to tell us. This is the time. I guess it's because the summer is coming.
Yeah,
people. Remember you had this theory that people only write on company time, and a lot of people now are on vacation.
Sure, you write on company time, company stationery, company computer.
So the rest of you have to do a little bit more because these are
step
hard
up,
times,
so to speak.
You have to step up to the plate and do it because I can't go without reading mail. I mean, I can't.
Oh, he'll be insufferable. Please write anything.
Anything.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Allison. I live in Malone, New York.
Allison?
Allison.
Yes.
With one L or two?
One L.
Where are you from?
Malone, New York. It's about an hour away from Montreal.
Malone?
Mm-hmm. It's like the cow-tipping capital of the world.
Oh, wow. That's great. Cow-tipping, huh?
Uh-huh.
Cow, what's cow tipping?
Tipping cows over as they sleep.
Yeah, you sneak up on a cow and you knock them down.
Isn't that illegal in like 47 states?
Yeah, just about.
You've never done it, have you, Allison?
No, of course not.
Seems like kind of a bizarre and inhumane way to have fun. But
well, they're not humanes anyway. They're cows. But it is a cruel thing to do. It's like ripping the wings off flies, but I suppose it's not quite that bad.
Anyway, Allison, what's on your mind?
I have a 1983 red Toyota Tercel, and it's got 172,000 miles on it.
Good.
Well, every time we stop for like a red light, the idle makes a really weird noise. It's like, rawr, rawr, rawr.
Oh, it surges.
Yeah.
Jennifer's car does the same thing, too. She asked me to fix it 3 times, and I haven't been able to.
Yeah, call her. She might have brought it somewhere else. Jennifer!
No, that's what it does when you stop. It just it surges up and down.
Yeah, unless the air conditioning is on. And if the air conditioning is on, then it won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if we spray carburetor cleaner in there, it won't do it for about a day, and then I'll start up again.
Spray carburetor cleaner where?
In the carburetor thing.
Where
I'm not sure my dad does it.
Where are you going to spray carburetor cleaner? On the brakes? No, on the carburetor.
Well, I don't know. I'm just asking. I mean, you never know. Carburetor cleaner has many uses.
Certainly does.
Yes.
Well, it's curious that it happens when the air conditioner is not on and doesn't happen when the air conditioner is on. Because it's supposed to do work the other way.
Well, no. What's happening is the
because it's not surging. It's not surging.
Well,
the idle
up device, which is what's making the thing race, is probably malfunctioning because it's getting a bad. It works on vacuum on this car, and it's getting a bad vacuum signal from something, and it's causing it to do this. Wah,
I don't
wah.
Agree.
Oh, I know because I fixed 100 of them, except for Jennifer's, I don't know what's wrong with hers. But usually, this is what it is, and we fix these on Tercels all the time.
I would agree with this answer had she not thrown in the little tidbit of the carburetor cleaner, which makes me suspicious.
No, it doesn't make me suspicious. Am I correct in saying that when it is doing this and you spray the carburetor cleaner in there, that's when it fixes it, right at that moment?
No, a couple of days.
Well, it'll start to stall for a while. When you drive, you have to drive it around for a little while, and then it'll stop for about a day.
A day, yeah. See, which
unrelated.
No, I mean, it makes me suspect the throttle plate just a little bit.
No, you're going
to... A stuck... throttle plate.
You could have a stuck throttle,
yeah,
but
yeah, well, let's consider this here now.
You could have a stuck secondary throttle, and I will agree that that's a possibility, except from my experience with these cars, and God knows we've worked on enough 83 Tercels, that I think you will find that I'm correct. On the slim chance that this is my brother's one day a year to be correct about something.
What day is this?
You may want to have somebody investigate whether or not the secondary throttle in the carburetor is sticking. Now, I'd hate to ask this question because it would corroborate my brother's theory.
Be careful.
Is it more likely to happen after you've been driving the car at high speed and then pull off into city traffic?
It's usually just all the time. But, yeah, if I'm driving, like, 55 miles for a while, it'll definitely do it.
See, that's what you need before. That one time in a thousand when I make sure that you stay honest.
Well, I'm giving the devil his due.
I knew about the idle up little thing, yeah, but so what? I mean, you have to use all pieces of information. You said you like to tie things up in nice little bundles so all the pieces fit together, and then you...
I want to tie this quarter on your throat.
And then you very quietly try to avoid the piece of information
I
that Allison tells
us. I did, because Allison sounded like a youngster, and I figured I could pull a fast one on her and get rid of her and go to the next caller.
Well, it won't happen around here, buddy.
Sorry, Allison.
That's okay.
But Tommy may be right. God, you don't know how that hurts. But anyway, have someone check. Maybe Dad can do it for you. Check to see if, and the way you check it is with the, when the thing is doing that, you're going to stick a long, skinny screwdriver into the secondary throttle. That's the one where the choke isn't.
Okay.
There are two barrels in the carburetor. One has the choke covering it, and it's the other barrel. And if you can push on that throttle and stop it from doing it, then my brother's right. Then you have to really clean that thing with carburetor cleaner vigorously.
Okay.
And hopefully that'll fix it.
Your father will love to do this because this is the kind of thing that fathers love to do.
If he can't figure out how to do it, have him call us and we'll fax him the instructions.
Okay.
See you, Allison.
All right, bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.
I mean, that's sort of like the equivalent of putting in a shim somewhere. You know, you spray it and you jiggle it. Oh, that's what being a father is all about.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Charlie from San Francisco.
Hi, Charlie. What's going on, man?
Well, I'm a service advisor in a car dealership, and we're getting a lot of complaints about brakes not lasting as long as they used to. And I don't know...
What story are we going to decide on, Charlie? I mean, what we've been doing... is we've been slicing them in half before we install them. And if you do that, they come back after 7,000, 8,000 miles, they're going to have pads again. Do you guys want to buy our slicer?
Wow, now I know who to blame.
What do you work for, a Volvo dealership?
I work for a Mercedes-Benz dealership.
Oh, okay.
But when I worked for a Honda dealership, we had the same problem. And, of course, everybody says, well, my blank didn't have this problem. I always got 50,000 miles.
Yeah, and they're coming back saying, I used to get 50,000 miles out of my pads when I had my Geo Metro.
Right. Right.
No, and now that I got my...
When I had my Studebaker in 1959, and now, after 18,000 miles, I need brakes in my E-Class.
Right.
Is that typically what you find, the 18 to 24,000?
Well, we're getting 7,000 to 8,000 miles on the low end. But this is San Francisco, which is a real tough city on brakes.
Right, it is. But when they had the Studebakers, they were getting 50,000 miles.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you guys are in deep doo-doo.
Well, are cars getting less mileage on brakes?
Yes.
Or are people driving differently? What's going on?
No, I think cars are getting a lot less mileage on brakes because they've changed the composition of the materials. And as you know, I mean, they don't use asbestos anymore.
Right.
And now they use brake pads are made out of a mixture of things like bronze, brass, copper, steel wool, in some kind of amalgam.
And chunky peanut butter. Skippy chunky peanut butter.
Chunky peanut butter. And it's all bonded together with some bonding agent like Kevlar or something. But the bottom line is the stuff wears out fast. And faster than asbestos brakes wore out.
You mean to tell me that the owners of these fancy Mercedes are complaining about a lousy set of pads Is that because you guys charge them $750 to replace the pads?
That's a separate complaint.
That's a separate complaint. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got the right idea. I mean, if they can afford $60,000 for the car.
So you say 7 or 8 on the low end. What's the average? What's the typical life expectancy for someone in your area?
Probably 12 to 15.
15.
See, I don't think that's bad.
Oh, that's bogus. Well, okay, it might not be bad for San Francisco.
No, but not for San Francisco.
It might not be bad for San Francisco.
Seven or eight sounds really low.
When you consider that all of these cars are automatic transmission cars, too.
Right.
You know, and none of them has the advantage of being able to, nobody downshifts to slow down with a Mercedes.
No, they got no time. They have movers and shakers, man.
So 15,000 miles, I guess, would probably be the equivalent of about 25,000 miles for us here in New England.
Probably,
which is about what we get. 7 or 8 is because, and I suppose you'd have to accuse these people of being a little heavy-footed on the brake.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell them to suck it up.
Okay.
Yeah. And if they're getting under 10,000 miles on a set of pads, I think you got to tell them to shape up and start driving right.
Okay.
Because they gotta be driving down all those hills with 1 foot on the brake and 1 foot on the gas pedal. They're crazy.
Yeah, tell them that they're going to go easier on the brakes, and you might suggest to them that they use a lower gear when coming down some of the longer hills. It would save wear and tear on the brakes.
Yeah, and that way you could collect $8,000 or $9,000 rebuilding transmission.
Hey. I'll make sure I write my boss a memo about that.
See you, Charlie.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Sarah from Cranford, New Jersey.
Cranford?
Yes.
Cranford. New Jersey. I got it.
What's up, Sarah, baby?
I have a 1993 Mercury Villager.
Okay.
I went away for the weekend about a month ago, and my husband stayed home with our 8 and 4-year-old sons. And when they came to the airport to pick me up and I got in the car, it smelled funny. And I was happy to see them, and we're talking, and I said, "What's that smell?" And they said, "We don't smell anything." And then we came home, and I walked in the house, and the house smelled funny. And I said, "What's that smell?" And they said, "We don't smell anything." And it took me about a day to find, like, a half-drunk milk sippy cup underneath the sofa. So I took care of that. But the car smells like urine.
Oh.
And we live in New Jersey, and it's really humid and horrible, and it's awful. So I cleaned the car, I cleaned the booster seat, and my 4-year-old and I are spraying Febreze on all the upholstered furniture, and I took it to the car wash, and they sprayed some big jar of lemon stuff in there.
Yeah.
And the inside is now much better, but when you turn the car on and put on either the vent with the air or the AC, it's like urine air. It's horrible, and I need you to help
So you
me.
Think they had like a peeing contest in the car? Go ahead. You first. No. You first. Ma's going to kill us. Sorry. Ma's
She'll
away.
Never
she
know.
Won't know.
Dad
one...
likes it. Dad won't care.
Dad can't smell anything.
I know. No one's admitting anything.
So what were you thinking when you went away? Where were you? When did you go that was so important?
Yeah, what are you,
dared
nuts?
To leave them with your car.
I'm never leaving them with the car again.
No.
No.
I don't think they had anything to do with it.
Why?
Oh, I do.
Because I'm siding with them. That's it.
No, you have to help me.
No, because the fact that you say it comes out worse when you turn on the air conditioning suggests to me that the smell is not in the vehicle, but in the vents.
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
And if they didn't pee,
I mean,
they would have had to have been
hanging by their feet from a tree under which your car was parked and peeing into the vents. Do you think they could have done that?
Do you have a sunroof?
No.
Oh, they couldn't have done it. With the sunroof, I can imagine how they would do it. But I don't think they did do it. And I think they've been unjustly accused, and I think you should beg for forgiveness.
I think so, too. So if you accused your husband?
No.
So you smell the smell, but he, when you confront him and say, for example, "Do you smell that, hun?" He says, "I don't smell anything."
He says, "Nothing happened."
Nothing happened, because in his mind, nothing did happen.
That's right.
And what has happened, however, is that your evaporator drain for your air conditioner has gotten plugged up.
Oh.
And the evaporator drain is designed to drain out the water that your air conditioner removes from the car.
Mm-hmm.
your evaporator drain is plugged up, and that water that's in there has begun to grow mold.
Oh.
And that's what you think smells like urine. It's mold. Of course, they may have peed in it, too.
They may have.
They may have.
But I don't
think so. And we'll never know.
Just a good measure.
But it's if you go to your shop, garage, whatever, and and ask them to clean it out, they can probably do it easily.
What they will do is they will spray compressed air into the drain.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, it should clear the drain and the water should come out. And as such, a lot of the mold spores will disappear, too. But then there are certain chemicals, and Febreze may not be a bad one to use, but I think there are probably better ones that you can get at an auto parts store.
Mm-hmm.
We've used a thing called Frigifresh. I don't know if they still make it. And you spray it in the vents, which are right in front of your windshield on the outside of the vehicle.
Okay.
And you run the air conditioner system, and what that does is it will suck in that air along with that stuff you sprayed in, and we should kill the mold spores. And the way it usually works is it's about a 3-to-1 trade-off. For every 3 mold spores you kill, you lose 1 brain cell.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
but that's
you very
a good
much.
Trade-off.
It's not bad. You have your husband do it. He's probably not using them anyway.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Sarah, and apologize to the kids.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I think you should take them out for ice cream.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry for all the things. Well, it would be good if your wife could apologize to you for all the things that she thought you did.
But most of them, she thought I did.
You really did.
Okay, Tommy, look, before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break so we can go to the little mechanics room.
We'll be right back.
The little mechanics room? Jump into your midlife Chrysler. You pop your top and your outlook on life is new. In your midlife Chrysler. Your engine's burning, your wheels are turning too. In your midlife Chrysler. Your youth is passing and there's nothing you can't do.
And even though all the other land masses start to inch away from the North American plate whenever we say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to take a moment to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Now, I'm going to make a bold prediction and guess that at some point, you're going to need tires. That's why they call me Kreskin Malyotzi. Now, at TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, can be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. Which leads me to my second bold prediction, that you've learned more from this message than from the rest of our show. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And I think I'd mentioned last week that this was sent in by a listener named Khalid Balamar. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he was trying to learn English from us.
Yeah.
And he thought to kind of repay us for teaching him English, he would send us this puzzler.
That's the guy.
We're certainly in his debt now, that's for sure. Anyway, here it is. A barber had his first customer of the day who happened to be a friend of his. When he was, you know, finished with the haircut, the barber refused to take the money from the customer. The fellow said, look, I know we're friends, but, you know, business is business. I want to pay for my haircut. The barber said, well, okay, here's what we'll do. You open the cash register. I don't have any idea how much money is in there, but you match whatever is in there and then take out $20. Customer says, okay, and in fact, he does that.
Hmm.
The barber says, geez, I kind of like this. So the next customer comes in, he gets his haircut, and the barber says, you can do the same thing my first customer of the day did. You can open the cash register, match what's in there, and then take out $20. Customer does that, and he leaves. The third customer does the same thing. He matches what's in there and takes out $20. The fourth customer, you still awake?
Yeah.
After receiving his haircut, opens the cash register and says, I can't do it. I can't do what you want me to do. And the barber says, why not? Well, there's no money in here, not a cent. So the three customers matched what was in there and took out $20, and the fourth guy found an empty drawer. The question was, how much money was in there when customer number one, the friend?
You match it, you take out $20.
Okay. Well, here's how I worked it out.
Yeah.
the last guy obviously saw nothing in there.
Yeah.
So the next to last guy, i.e. the third customer, had to have, when he opened the thing, had to have seen $10 because he matched it and took out $20.
And there was nothing left.
And there was nothing left. Okay? Mm-hmm. The guy before him, in order for him to have left $10 in there, had to have seen $15 in the cash register. He matched it. That made $30 in the cash register. Okay?
Yeah.
He took out 20, left 10.
Yeah.
The first guy, when he opened it, saw $17.50.
Yeah.
He matched it, took out his 20, left 15 bucks. So the answer is $17.50. Do we have a winner?
The winner is Rose McNeely. Ooh, there's a name from the past. As in Sergeant McNeely. Rose McNeely from Boonesboro, Maryland, and for having her answer selected at random from all the right answers that we got. Rose is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get a Car Talk t-shirt / oil rag, or if she prefers, an oil rag / t-shirt. Congratulations, Rose McNeely.
Good
from
work,
from Boonesboro, Maryland.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler, believe it or not, from the wonderful world of automotive parts.
No kidding.
And that's coming up in the third half of the show today, so stay tuned. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Teresa from Zigzag, Oregon.
Teresa.
Yeah.
All right, come on now. Give us a break.
This is a real town.
Zigzag,
what's its
Oregon?
Claim to fame? And why is it named Zigzag?
Well, the road must go.
It has to do with Zigzag Mountain and Zigzag River, which it's right near.
The river must be the beginning of all this, right?
I think the river is the beginning of all this. Yeah, we're up the road, by the way, from Boring, Oregon.
Yeah, I was going to say, they must have been vying for the prize of unoriginality. I mean, they have to name three places Zigzag, the mountain, the river, and the town?
Well, there aren't all that many people here.
I guess. Well, they took a poll, I guess. What do you Zigzag is good
sure,
enough for
fine.
Me.
Right.
Easy to remember.
Now, just do you spell Teresa with an H or not?
I do spell it. First with a T and then with an H.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good.
So what's up, Teresa?
Well, I have this Subaru, 86 Subaru XT.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And when I'm first starting out driving, some wheels seem to catch, you know, in a kind of a rhythmic way, just a slight catch as if something's rubbing. And I thought maybe the handbrake was stuck on or something with the brakes was wrong. So I had it checked out, and the mechanic couldn't find anything with the brakes, but he said that the bearings in the rear were too tight. So he repacked them and checked out the front ones. He said they were okay, and I didn't pay him very much and thought I got off great. However, the problem didn't go away.
Well, that we've discovered over the years that if you're not going to fix somebody's car, the best way to prevent them from complaining is to not charge very much. In fact, if you do enough of those every day,
you can make a living at it.
You can make a living at it, and nobody's going to come back and complain. How much do you charge? Like $30?
$33.
$33, and nobody is going to bother to complain.
No.
If it didn't fix it. Because your argument is, as the mechanic, well, what the hell do you want for $33?
We get
very few complaints. It's when you try to charge $200 and $300 that people expect perfection.
Or at least something decent.
Or something new.
Yeah. Or at least that you didn't break something that wasn't broken before.
When you say it has a catch, you mean that as you start driving, you can feel or hear or both something?
I feel something.
You feel.
I feel a kind of a...
Like a dragging?
Sorry?
Like it's dragging or it's like a clicking or...
No, there's no sound.
No sound.
No, it's just a feeling that I'm not driving smoothly because something is doing a kind of a rhythmic rubbing.
But something's grabbing, releasing, yeah. and it increases in frequency as you speed up.
Well, the fact is, pretty soon I can't feel it. I assume it's still there.
Yeah, when you get up to a higher speed, it's less.
Right.
Less noticeable.
Yeah.
So did he feel this?
Did he feel it?
Yeah, the guy that charged you the $33. That's a nice number.
I felt it. I went away.
Oh, you went away.
You described the problem to him.
Yes.
He concluded there was nothing wrong with the brakes, and therefore he did the bearings.
Yeah.
So, well...
Could be bearings.
So if you stopped at a traffic light when you take off, you feel it?
Yes.
Yeah. All the time. She said all the time. Low speed.
Low speed. And maybe high speed. I don't know. I can't feel it.
She can't feel it.
But it doesn't alter the way the car
behaves.
So
you might feel it at high speeds, but you don't know because you can't feel it. Right. Is that what you said?
That's pretty much what I said.
Are you giving us the old zigzag approach here?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
I mean...
Well, I think you have a bad constant velocity joint, and it's binding up a little bit. And, of course, once you got it moving, once you got it moving, you probably wouldn't feel it because it would happen so quickly. What you might feel is a vibration at high speed. Do you feel anything like that? There's $20 in it if you say yes.
Yeah.
Well.
Who's going to send her the $20?
I might feel something.
I might be talked into feeling a little vibration there.
Can I take 25?
Well, I mean, what he's going to have to do, if you trust this guy, is he's going to have to take out the constant velocity joint and play around with it a little bit.
I don't know if I'd go back to this guy necessarily.
Yeah.
Tell him you're willing to pay more if need be.
If I get $20 out of this, I'm ahead.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
No, but I think you want to drive in the car with him and make him aware of what you feel, the sensation you feel.
Right.
So you say, that's what it is. That's what I feel. And
that's
he'll say,
there.
Okay, that's good. Because he may be thinking something different. I don't think a bearing would necessarily cause this without making noise.
Oh.
And a bearing that's bad would make a growling noise.
And it would also heat up, probably, and he would be able to feel it, almost.
Would I smell something?
Not unless my brother was driving with you.
Unlikely.
Yeah. Anyway, have him check for a constant velocity joint that's sticking. I think you may find the answer there.
Is that usually an expensive check?
Oh, yeah. No, not a check, a repair.
Yeah. It's an expensive repair, but a cheap check.
Cheap
okay.
check. Maybe. He'll
All
figure
right.
it out.
Constant velocity joint.
Try someone else.
Okay.
See you, Teresa.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is John from Chittenango, New York.
Hello? Chittenango?
Chittenango.
No kidding.
Obviously an Indian name.
No
or...
kidding. Yeah, that's correct. And is also the birthplace of L. Frank Baum.
Excuse me?
The man that wrote The Wizard of Oz tale.
Oh.
Oh, The Wizard of Oz.
Home of the annual Oz Fest.
I thought it was L. Ron Tappet.
So what's up, John?
Well, I have a very simple question.
Yeah.
I have a 1988 Silver Nova, and the last time I had it into the shop, my mechanic said that the cooling fins were beginning to corrode and break off, and I was going to need a new radiator.
Right.
So since then, I've been watching the temperature gauge real carefully, and even in central New York, we do occasionally get warm days. They're few and far between, but mm-hmm. we had one the other day, and I'm not overheating at all. So my question is, just how many of these things can I lose before I really need to replace my radiator?
Good question. I mean, who knows is the answer. You can lose as many as you lose before it overheats.
I see.
You know, it used to be that they built radiators really solidly, and in fact, the radiator would outlive the car for mm-hmm. you know, for most cars built in yesteryear. Except they figured out at some point that they were building them too well, and they were lasting too long. And they weren't making any money selling.
Not making enough money on the sale of radiators.
Exactly.
Right, in the aftermarket. And
in fact, my 63 Dodge Dart still has its original radiator in it.
Uh-huh.
My 56 Chevy, when I got rid of it 2 or 3 days ago, still had its original radiator.
And you know, when
it.
I.
Probably
when,
none of those would fit in my Nova.
They would not.
When I sent your 65 Ambassador to the Crusher,
it had its original radiator. Of course, it was only a year old when you did that.
No, that's true. Anyway. They don't build radiators like they used to, certainly, and I believe yours needs to be done. And why are you delaying it?
Well, because I'm a graduate student.
That's always graduate students. They have no money.
So if I can keep driving this beast without putting any money at all into it, I'm in favor of doing that.
Well, here's the risk. You'll probably have to do it for sure by next summer, and you plan to have the car next summer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When are you finishing grad school?
I'm scheduled to defend my dissertation July 30th.
Of this year?
Yes.
Good luck. What's the dissertation title? Just lay it on us. Is it more than 12 words?
No, it's not.
Then you flunked.
Theory and Practice of Discipline. It's in Philosophy of Education.
The Philosophy of Education.
And what's the title again?
Theory and Practice of Discipline.
Ooh. Wow. That's pretty broad.
Sounds indefensible to me, John.
Do you take long trips, John?
No, I don't. But I'm planning on giving the car to my daughter. And she'll be taking it back to school with her.
Oh, another one of these old-timer PhD guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right. My brother
lifetime.
Just gave one of his cars to his daughter for her 25th wedding anniversary.
Well, if you're going to give it to your daughter, you clearly have to fix it.
Okay.
But will it last until July 31st? Is there a July 31st? 30 days, half September, right. All the rest I can't remember. Yes, there is one.
No, and the reason you should do it is that if it were to fail on you, and you're not going to know when it's going to fail. It may fail on a 97-degree day, but not on a 95-degree day.
Okay.
And you overheat the engine, there's a great risk that you could crack the cylinder head, warp the head, blow the head gasket, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of all those are considerably more, any of those, is considerably more than the radiator.
Okay.
So you should do it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And good luck on the defense.
You'll need it. See ya. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lori in Elsa Bronte, California.
Emily Bronte, California? Where is this?
Elsa Bronte?
It's in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Is it actually in the Bay?
No.
Is it Elsa? Close. Is it two words?
Yeah, Elsa Bronte.
Yeah.
It means the leftover.
Right, Elsa Bronte.
Oh, it's El.
Yeah,
not
like,
El,
like El Segundo?
Not, oh, it's
not Elsa Bronte.
It's not Emily Bronte's sister,
no,
Elsa.
No.
El Sabronte. When Sabronte means what?
Remainder.
The leftover.
The leftover.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is
a charming name for a city.
As long as you don't know,
as long as you don't
what,
know what
it means.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
El Sabronte.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So what's up?
I have a car relationship question for
car
you.
Car
slash relationship question.
Go for it.
Well, my boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years, and we've been living together since December. And also since December, he's been accumulating old vehicles.
Ah.
The first was a 1965 Chevy one-ton panel truck.
Well, that's a nice vehicle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then there was a 1949 Harley-Davidson Panhead with the sidecar.
Yeah.
And now there are two more 1965 Chevy pickup trucks, and he could tell you the difference. All I can tell is one has more rust than the other.
No, see?
Yeah.
You don't see.
You're not a discriminating user.
Yeah.
No, not really. No.
Yeah, you're going to have a hard time convincing us that he's doing anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the
well,
question
the
is,
catch.
Have you got a problem with that, Laurie?
Well, here's the catch.
Yeah.
My boyfriend is blind. He can't drive any of these vehicles.
Interesting.
So there's kind of this pressure on me to drive them. He hasn't always been blind. He used to be a mechanic before he lost his eyesight. So he likes to work on them.
Oh, he does.
And I don't know why he can't be satisfied just working on them.
Oh, no. Come on, Laurie.
And not having to have me drive them.
You've got to drive them once
in a while.
No,
you've got to give the guy a ride. Come on. I mean, first of all, he's got, what, three pickup trucks?
Right.
He's not going to know the difference between pickup truck A and pickup truck B. So you only have to drive one of them.
Neither one of them is going to run anyway.
Right.
But I don't know how to drive a motorcycle, and this one has a kickstart.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
People call suicide shift, and doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah, you may have to just crash that into a tree in the first 5 minutes and get yourself off the hook with that one.
Right.
But the other vehicles you can drive, and I think it'll strengthen your relationship. It will bond you together for life.
You think so?
Is this the guy? I mean, is this the guy that you... This,
3 years?
Is he the one?
Yeah, maybe so.
Has he popped a question yet?
No.
Have you?
Well...
You know what the question is.
I might have tried.
Ah, he's not interested.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
Right now, he's interested in trucks.
Yeah. So you think I should just make my peace with it, huh?
I think so. But obviously, if he's gone to all this trouble to collect these things, then it means a lot to him.
Right.
And if you think that he means a lot to you, then I think you got to just bite the bullet.
Yeah, I guess you're probably right.
Yeah. embrace them.
You have the right attitude toward it. I can tell from the sound of your voice that you love the guy, and I think you should just go with it.
Okay.
That's my feeling, too.
And if he doesn't say yes to your question, ask him a different question.
Okay.
See you later.
All right. Bye.
See you, Laurie. All right, it's time to take a short break.
Right. My brother's going to meditate until a new puzzle just sort of comes to him, you know?
Or until I keel over and bump my head on the microphone. We'll be back in a minute. It ain't no race car. It ain't no pace car. It ain't no K car.
And even though Confucius says, boy, is silence golden, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the podcast of Car Talk comes from, get this, Big Ass Light. Yes, that's actually the name of the company and not just a nickname for our producer. Big Ass, no relation to our tailor, UJAS, is the manufacturer of the Garage Light, which brings the heavy-duty design and efficiency of Big Ass Light's industrial LED fixtures to home workshops and garages. The Garage Light is bright enough to replace 15 60-watt bulbs and is rated to last for 70 years at 6-hour-a-day use. Good luck wearing that thing out. Learn more at bigasslight.com/NPR. Check them out so I get to say Big Ass on more of these podcasts. Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
Which you said was of an automotive nature, but I forgot what you said.
Yeah, from the wonderful world of auto repair.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a true story, and it happened to yours truly.
Me?
Yeah. A few months ago, we needed something called a map sensor for a customer's Toyota Celica. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very expensive part, although it's little. It probably doesn't make any difference, you know, if you know what a map sensor is. I mean, you don't want to know what it is?
I don't care. No.
It measures the vacuum in the intake manifold. It's called a manifold absolute pressure sensor. Anyway, it's a fairly expensive part, and I call the Toyota dealer, and they say they don't have one. In fact, the guy checks, and he says, well, none of the dealers around here have one. But if you want, I can call it into the warehouse and order it, as long as you let me know that you want the thing. If you call me before the end of the day, I'll put the order in. And I said, well, I'll have to call the customer first because the part is expensive. So I call the customer, and, of course, no answer. I called 5 or 6 times, and I realize he's probably given me his home number when, in fact, he's at work.
Yeah, it happens.
Finally, late in the day, he calls. Is my car done? And I say, no, it's not done. And I explain that he needs this expensive piece. And, you know, I explain why. You know, my kids have to go to college. I have to fund my 401k and make my boat payment, et cetera. And he says, go for it. I call the dealer. The phone rings and rings and rings. And I look and I notice it's 501.
Oh, no.
I said, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, fudge, I say, I think. So I try all the tricks, you know.
You say that a lot.
Everyone has a secret little thing. You know, if your wife were trying to call you and you were trying to avoid a call from, say, what, Doug Berman.
Yeah.
You'd say, hun, call once, hang up, and then call right back.
Good idea.
So I do that. I let it ring once, I hang up, I call back, I let it ring and ring, nothing. I use all the tricks. Nothing works. And one of my guys says, well, can't you call the warehouse directly? And I said, no. I said, I wouldn't know where to call, and they probably wouldn't take my call. And it's 5 o'clock anyway. They're probably closed. That's why I had to call them before the end of the day.
I don't know what the question is, but I know what the answer is.
Wow.
Go ahead.
After 5 minutes of moaning and groaning, I have an inspiration, and the next morning I have my part. The question is, how did I do it? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. And if you have a question right now, if you can't wait, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mike from Bothell, Washington.
From where?
Bothell, Washington.
B-O-T-H-O-L?
No, B-O-T-H-E-L-L.
Bothell.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Which end of Washington are you in?
North end of Lake Washington, about 30 miles north of Seattle.
I got it. Yeah.
So you're from Bothell, Washington.
Yes.
Yes.
We got
it's from a brothel in Washington.
You got it.
Yeah.
There are a lot
of them down there.
So what's shaking?
Oh, I've got a 93 Subaru Legacy wagon with 145,000 miles on it. And
good.
I've got a problem where every Sunday morning it has a tendency to want to die in the very same spot on the road. It's the most bizarre thing you ever saw.
Really? Only on Sunday?
Only on Sunday.
Beach. I thought the movie was never on Sunday.
Essentially, I live in a real small little valley, a small depression. And
yeah.
When I go to work Monday through Friday, I'm driving up and down the low part of the valley. Never get over 45 miles an hour.
Do you have to go up and down hills to get to work?
No.
Now you're in the valley.
Yeah. Now, on Sunday, we have to go out of the valley. And there's
up the hill.
Yep. About 2.5 mile. It's a real long, low gradual gradient, okay?
And the engine is still cold when you
go. No, it is warm. By the time I get to the freeway, it's warm.
Yeah.
Now I got to get on the freeway, and 1.5 miles up that gradient, it dies. And you can feel it. One cylinder will drop out, then another, until I got the foot to the floor, and it's just dying. You pull over to the side of the road, turn the key off, wait about 30 seconds, turn it on, starts right back up, and runs fine the rest of the day. I can go up and down hills, do whatever I want.
So after 1.5 miles, it conks out, but it makes the next 1.5 miles.
Just fine. Yeah. When it does die and you pull over, if you try and start it immediately...
It won't start.
Well, no. Yeah, it won't start. But it makes a sound like...
You have no compression.
Yes. Exactly.
Huh? Good guess, huh?
It cranks real fast.
Yeah, because the first thing that came to my mind...
Whoa, yes.
The first thing that came to my mind...
Lay it on us, baby.
First thing that came to my mind...
Mind? Can you remember?
That you have... your car, that is, has a rare disease, which it may have contracted from another car in the neighborhood.
Ooh. Is it WD?
WD? What's a WD?
Washdown.
No, you have Toyota Camry Syndrome.
No kidding.
I believe so.
TCS.
TCS.
Yeah, well known among cardiologists.
Well, because you have 145,000 miles on your car, I think it's very susceptible to this.
Yeah.
And what you have is carbon buildup on the valve train, which causes some of the valves to stick open and not close, thus rendering the engine compressionless. So that and it's most likely to happen when the engine is under the greatest load and it's the hottest, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And you're trying to climb a hill. So you wouldn't notice it if you were on flat ground if you lost the cylinder.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Thank God for that.
But you might notice it climbing a hill, and then once you lost one cylinder, the engine would run even hotter because three cylinders would be trying to do the work of four, and then you'd lose another and another until finally you were down to one or maybe two cylinders and the car would conk out.
Okay.
And then letting it sit allows it to cool, and then it's okay after that, unless you actually replicated exactly the conditions, which are unlikely.
How long do you have to make it sit to cool?
Oh, 30 seconds.
I don't like that. I don't like it.
I like it.
I don't like it.
You don't like it, huh?
No.
All right.
It's not going to cool in 30 seconds.
It doesn't have to cool that much, just enough to close the valves.
Yeah.
And once it does... Boom, it's going to fire right up.
Oh, I tell you what, you guys have come up with a better idea than anybody else has.
And they tested the fuel pump?
No, I have not had
that. They should do that. I mean, that's...
Do that before you go doing anything to the valves.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't going to suggest you do much of anything to the valves.
What about the walnuts?
Your pardon? No, you. There are two treatments you can try. One is a quick and dirty treatment. You can throw an additive in the fuel tank.
Okay.
We use a product called 44K, which is made by BG Industries.
Yeah, the Bee Gees. You may remember them in the 60s.
Well, they're into making additives now. but we found that in some cases, in fact, many cases where the thing is badly carboned up, we have to hook up a machine to it. We have a machine made by Snap-on Tools, which cost many millions of dollars, that's called the Motor Vac. And what that does is it flushes out not only your fuel injectors, but also sprays this stuff into the area where the intake valves accumulate all these deposits.
Mm-hmm.
And it dissolves all this stuff.
Okay.
And pushes it into your catalytic converter where it plugs that up.
But
it'll run for at least a week.
But we've had extraordinarily good luck with the motor vac. So if you put an additive in the tank and it doesn't help, find someone in your area that has a motor vac.
Yeah. Okay.
Most likely it'll be a Toyota dealer. Well, it will, because the Toyotas are the ones that have had this problem more than any other vehicle. Okay. And your car, as my brother says, probably caught this disease. Are there any Toyotas that you park near at work or neighbors?
Yes, on either side of me, both neighbors.
That'll do it.
That did. I'm sure it did.
Late at night when you're asleep, you don't know what's going on out in those driveways.
See you, Mike.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
See you later.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Oh, jeez. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's, 888-CAR-TALK or 888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Karen from Fletcher, Vermont.
Fletcher? Where the heck is that?
It's about 25 miles east of Burlington.
Oh, so that's like right in the middle of the mountains, isn't
it? Yeah.
What a godforsaken place. What the hell are you doing up there?
Well, actually, I'm studying French.
Where? At UVM?
No. I'm actually doing it at home right now. I just got back from 4 months in Paris.
Oh,
really?
Oh, tough job.
Yeah.
You know, I was just reading.
You just couldn't wait to get back to Fletcher, huh?
Right. It's a little bit different life.
Did you notice a different lifestyle? Well, maybe the lifestyle is not that different.
The lifestyle is very different.
Yeah. Well, not in this sense, though. I was just reading today's paper, and a study was done by Roper, one of those guys. This was an international study to find out who works the hardest and who works the least. And the most hard working.
Are we talking about in this room?
No.
All right.
Countries. Countries. The most hard working country, Korea.
I could believe that.
I could believe that.
And number two is the US of A, I think.
Well, I don't know about number two, but I know about the last one. Who's at the other end?
The Italians.
You got it. And the French. They're about equal.
Neck and neck, so to
neck
speak.
Neck and neck at the low end of not really busting them.
But the French, amazingly, get a lot accomplished. I mean, they actually, like, put missiles and satellites, you know, put missiles in the air and satellites in outer space.
Have you personally ever seen one of their missiles in the air? Well, no. They may just have a great propaganda system.
Oh, maybe like that moon landing that
like
we faked?
Like that moon landing that we faked, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But, and so I suspect that in Vermont, the work ethic is similar to France.
Well, we enjoy having a good time.
My brother used to live in Vermont, and he told me that the gas station was open by appointment only.
That's definitely possible.
Right?
Yeah. It was, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Karen, what's going on with you and your car that you abandoned for 4 months?
Well, I've since abandoned it.
Completely.
Even more, because it died by the side of the road the other day.
Ah.
And so now I'm in the market for another car.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And my question is moral, financial, and structural.
All right, go ahead.
Near Fletcher is a salvage company, and they make cars by putting together parts of cars that have been in wrecks.
I love it.
Oh, from base metals. Like alchemists.
This is great. I mean, every time you go to a junkyard, and if you're going to buy something of the car, they always tell you that the accident occurred at the other end of the car.
Right, exactly.
Well, which means there are cars with fronts that are okay and backs that aren't.
And
left
middles,
sides,
and
right sides, middles.
Yeah, so what have you got your eye on?
Well, so I was looking at a Subaru, which was hit in the back.
Of course.
And which was remade from two other Subarus.
So what year is this? Well, we don't know. It's a 91, 92, 93.
This is great.
What year is it predominantly?
99.
The front or the back?
So it's predominantly a 99 Subaru.
Wow. Right. And what do they want for it?
About 14,000. And it's got 11,000 miles on it. The front does.
The front. The
and
back.
What's the back? Like a Chevy Monza or is it another Subaru?
No, it's seamless. It really is beautiful. It does look like a new car. But my question is, you know, is it as good as a new car?
Well, what is this? This is a Subaru what, first of all? Is it Outback?
Forester.
A Forester.
Oh, a Forester.
Oh, no. Too much money. You can buy a brand new one for 20.
Well, that's the moral part of the question.
I
really believe in recycling.
Well, you get one of your friends to buy it.
Well, I mean, this is not an impossible thing to do. And it's quite likely that they can make a car out of two or three. It's very likely,
and
in
fact. And it's done all the time. However, bear in mind this. The original car was hit so badly that it was totaled by the insurance company. That's how these guys came to own this car. So do you want that car that was cobbled together from a total? It's possible that the thing got hit so badly that the frame is twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing may look great and it may run great, but it may chew up tires. It may not handle correctly.
But see, those are things that you could find out.
Maybe not. Not easily. Don't forget, she's in Fletcher. Yeah.
Ah, well, that's true.
Yeah, find out from whom.
It is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. It's
you would
way too
think
much.
That if they were doing what they're doing, they ought to be able to sell it to you for $9,000 instead
mm-hmm.
of 14.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would offer them.
I think that's too much money. The moral issue, I don't know about morality. And the structural issue, we've already covered, so we're all set.
Okay.
Are we done?
Okay, bye.
Hey, Karen, it's a pleasure to
yeah,
talk to you.
But shop around for a used one. And then you can go to these guys and say, look, I can buy this one that has never been hit. Maybe it has a few more miles on it, but I can buy this thing for like $14,800. If you'll sell me this thing for $8,800, you got a deal. Call me.
Okay.
But that's what it should be. I think it should be less than 10 for sure.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it can't be less than 10 because they put $11,000 into fixing it because it was totaled. How can it be less than 10? Well, it's happened again. You've vaporized yet another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his grand slam at the Greater Greensboro Garlic Gherkin and Goat Cheese Gavotte, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of allergy research is Teresa Pollinating. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aravindo. Our Elvis impersonator from the Cairo office is Amal Shookup. Our accounts payable administrator is Imelda Checks. Our director of summer visit to the in-laws is Don Juan Go. Our Russian gas station attendant is Philip Entopitov. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Louis Dewey, known at the mysteriously empty ice cream shops in Harvard Square as Huey Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1525, download other episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, our Shameless Commerce division is rolling out its 2015 line of summer garage wear. First up, our Born Not to Run t-shirt, based on a certain 1975 album cover from someone with actual talent. Check it out along with our best-of Car Talk collections, Car Talk mugs, and more over at the Shameless Commerce division at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR softball team tries to trade us to the History Channel whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.